Well, take your Bible this morning and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 17. This morning, I want to speak on one of the memory verses that we had. Oh, I don't know how long ago it was, but it was in Proverbs chapter 17. And I want you to find verse 22. We all have an appreciation for good medicine. When you're sick, when your head hurts, when your head is throbbing, when you just don't feel good, you're thankful for ibuprofen, you're thankful for Tylenol. If you have swelling or if you deal with a surgery, you are thankful for good medicine. If you have a baby, you are thankful for good medicine. If you have allergies, you are thankful for good medicine. Good medicine eases our symptoms. It helps you to feel better. And in some cases, it can actually deal with the problem and get rid of it itself. And so we're thankful for good medicine. Medicine goes all the way back to the, the earliest recorded history of medicine was about 2500 BC. So about 5,000 years ago, there is written documents on medicine. And that was found in Syria. But in the Bible, too, about 1800 BC, before Christ, about 1800, 2,000 years, so still about 4,000 years ago, you have several recorded deals of medicine throughout the Bible. For instance, when Rachel wanted to have the child with Jacob, she took these mandrakes from Leah's son in order that she thought it would make her more fertile. Isaiah prescribes to someone, take a cake of figs and apply that to the boil, and your boil will go away. If you remember the Ishmaelites, when they came through to buy Joseph, when they came through and they found him there, the Bible says they were carrying with them myrrh, they were carrying gum, and they were also carrying a balm, which was some type of medicine. So medicine is not something new in this type of age. It's changed a lot, but it is something that man has sought for as long as we've existed, as long as the fall has happened. We've sought something to help us deal with the hard things of life, the pains of life, and the things to make us heal, the things to make us feel better. This morning, I want to tell you this, that pharmacies have their place. Over-the-counter drugs have their place. However, God tells you there is another place, a different place where you can find good medicine. And so we're going to look at that passage this morning. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 22, just one verse. If you would, please stand with me for the reading of God's word. Read just this one verse, Proverbs chapter 17, beginning in verse 22. The Bible says, "A joyful heart is good medicine. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones." Let's pray. Oh Lord and Heavenly Father, holy is your name, great is your name, and greatly are you to be praised. And so, Lord, we want to praise you for your goodness to us. We praise you for the greater things of life, salvation, for eternity. But, Lord, we praise you also for the things that you prescribe to us now as we live in a broken world, a crushed world, deals with a lot of pain physically, mentally, relationally, and really in every degree. You have yet prescribed to us a medicine. You've given us the physical medicines we can take, but there is a one that has an effect that is spiritual. And Lord, we're told it in this verse. And so Lord, as we look at these things, help us to learn, help us to give our attention to this, and you create within us and teach us where we can find this joy which is spoken in here. So I pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Proverbs chapter 17, 22 teaches this. I'll give you just one sentence to head this whole thing up. A joyful heart is the key to a life, a healthy life of relationships, a healthy life in general, and lastly, a healthy body. A joyful heart is the key to healthy relationships, a healthy life, and even a healthy body. which is kind of interesting when you get to look into this. It teaches that this, if I just say it in other words, what goes on in your heart affects you on the outside. What goes on in your heart affects every other area of life. And we're going to look at this back from the back side and then from the front side, from the negative side, and then we'll look at it from the positive side. But that's the idea. A joyful heart is the key to experiencing healthy relationships, a healthy life, and even a healthy body. Let's start with the negative side of this. Look at the back half of this verse, which says this in Proverbs 17:22. It says, a crushed spirit dries up the bones. A crushed spirit dries up the bones. In life, you have optimists and you have what? Pessimists. The optimist sees the glasses half full, and then the pessimist sees the glasses half empty. It said this, I thought this was kind of funny to come across it. The optimist built the airplane, the pessimist built the parachute. You need both. And so there's something to both of them. If you slap the optimist and the pessimist together, you know what you find? The realist, the one who sees life through reality. Proverbs is an interesting book. It's not all optimism and it's not all pessimism, but it is realistic. And so I want to give you some of the more realistic things of life here. Give you three of them and we'll get back to the passage that we're in. But Proverbs chapter 14, verse 10, here's just one realistic piece that this book teaches about life. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 10 says, the heart knows its own bitterness, and no stranger shares its joy. The heart knows its own bitterness, and no stranger shares its joy. It's a really true principle in life that when you feel bitter in heart, when life is not well, it's heavy upon your shoulders, that nobody can feel what you feel. People come alongside you and people will tell you, you know, I know how you feel. And the reality is they may know how you feel because they've gone through a very, very similar thing. But in that moment, you cannot translate what is in your heart into their heart. They might hurt with you, but they don't hurt like you hurt. And so Proverbs is just honest about that. It's just one of the realities of life that you bear this. People can come alongside you and they can try and support you and really try to help you out, but you cannot translate fully what is going on into your heart. That's just a reality of life. Number two, Proverbs chapter 14 is right by the other one. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 13. See what this one says. It says this, even in laughter, the heart may ache, and the end of joy may be grief. Even in laughter, the heart may ache, and at the end of joy may be grief. You probably don't need that preached because you know exactly what that means. But it's another reality of life that you can laugh, you can have great joy, you can put on a smile. You can come to church, you can go out in public, you can look alive, you can look healthy, you can look like you're doing just fine, but behind that is a lot of heartache. Behind the smile, behind the handshakes, behind the how's your day going, it's good. It's not really good, and you just know that's a reality of life. And you can go somewhere, and you can have a good time with friends, you can laugh and laugh and laugh, but you go home, and as soon as you get in your car and you're by yourself, the heart can ache again. It's just a reality of life. Even in laughter, the heart can ache, and the end of joy may be grief. And so Proverbs is just real about that, that you can deal with that stuff. You can deal with joy and hurt at the same time. Third one, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 13, just the last one I'll point you to, Proverbs being honest about life. Proverbs 15, verse 13 says this, a happy heart makes the face cheerful, but heartache crushes the spirit. A happy heart makes the face cheerful, but heartache crushes the spirit. And so it's just real that heartache is a part of life, and it will crush your spirit. Look at Proverbs, back to Proverbs 17:22. This just ties with that last one. It says, a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Crushed spirit dries up the bones. Talk about a crushed spirit here for a little bit, and then we'll sway it back into the beginning of the verse. A crushed spirit. What is a crushed spirit? A crushed spirit is a spirit that is heavy. The burdens of the world are weighing on it. Something is weighing on it. It's heavy. It's broken. Something is said to you. Something is done to you. You deal with some kind of loss. And you know what a crushed spirit is. I don't have to talk about that too much. And so you deal with that. And where do these crushed spirits come from? It can be any number of things. Number one, it can come through a bad circumstance. This is something that happened to you. It's something that's done to you. Number two, it can come through bad relationships. The reality of life is just that not all relationships are easy. You have your easy to deal with people. You have your difficult to deal with relationships. Sometimes you can kind of keep people at arm's length. Sometimes you have to literally live with them. And so we deal with these difficult relationships, and you want those to be right, and so you deal with this heavy, crushed spirit. Number three, it can come from guilt. Why don't you turn over to Psalm chapter 32, and I want to show you something, another avenue of where a crushed spirit can come from. Psalm 32, David, this is often ascribed with David's sin with Bathsheba. And he's dealing with the guilt. Bad circumstances, bad relationships, and there's a third thing that can crush a spirit, and that's guilt. Listen to how this pairs up with Proverbs 17. He says this, Psalm 32, verse 3 and 4. He's covering up his sin. Committed adultery with this lady, had her husband killed. And he says this, "For when I kept silent, my bones, they wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as the heat of summer." And so you see how he describes that. You look at that. He says, my bones, they wasted away. My guilt, this guilt caused this within him. And I was day and night heavy. You ever experience that when you feel totally strong, you're totally healthy, but you can't get off the couch? Sometimes you're just in deep sorrow. Sometimes it's because there's deep guilt there. And that's what he's saying. Look, I couldn't even do anything physically. I'm a healthy, strong man. Mentally and spiritually, I got guilt weighing on me, and my strength is dried up. I'm like a blade of grass on a hot day. There's no rain, and I just kind of withered and fall over here, and I just could not do anything. And so what he's pointing out there, you can go back to Proverbs 17, but what he's pointing out there is that the inward condition of his heart affected who he was outwardly and physically, and so he had that guilt weighing on him. When you're defeated in spirit, it does something to you. If you translate this, I read one person who said it this way, you translate this passage literally, it says, a crushed spirit sucks the marrow out of the bone. It just takes all of the joy out of life. Everything that you enjoyed, you now don't enjoy. Everything you wanted to do, you now have no drive for. And so you deal with that when you have a crushed spirit. Proverbs 18:14 says, a man's spirit sustains him in sickness, but a crushed spirit who can bear? In times like that, if you're there, or when you get there, or if you've been there, there's one thing that you need, and you need some good medicine. You need some good medicine. Thankfully, the Bible tells you exactly where you can get this. Where do we find good medicine? Look at verse 22 again, the front hand of it. A joyful heart, the Bible says, is good medicine. The joyful heart is good medicine. It's good medicine, one, to your spirit. When you feel like you can't do anything, but you find, you take a healthy dose of joy, you notice what that does to your drive. I mean, whether you deal with guilt, the relationships, or just bad circumstances, when you find some avenue of joy in your life, suddenly I'm propelled. And I can do stuff. It's medicine to my soul. I don't know if you've sat. Does all your circumstances need to be perfect for you to find joy? You tell me that. Yes or no? Absolutely not. If you're looking for perfect circumstances to find joy, you will never find it, because you can always find something that is wrong somewhere. And so I don't know if you've ever sat by the side of like a weaker, older person. And you go there to be an encouragement to them, but you walk away being the one encouraged. You ever experience that? And it's the smile on their face. It's the joy in their heart. They're not good physically, and yet they bring you up. Maybe you've experienced the opposite of this too, a relatively healthy man. And you go and sit by their side, and you're brought lower. And it's because they're crushed in spirit. And so all your circumstances don't have to be a right. It's a joyful heart that makes all the difference. Same on the hospital bed. Sometimes you go and sit by people on the hospital bed, and you walk away going like, I think I was more blessed than they were. It's because they have this joy-filled heart. They might be on their way out of this life, but they have this joyful heart within them. It makes all the difference. It's medicine to their soul. Number two, it's good medicine in your spirit. Number two, it's good medicine in your relationships. When you have joy in your heart, it may not take away a bad relationship, but it allows you to move in spite of it. In other words, it doesn't weigh you down. It doesn't hold you back. You can be propelled. You can go forward, and you can still, and sometimes it does give you medicine to go heal that relationship because now I have joy. It's so hard to do that when you don't have it. So it's joy, it's medicine in your spirit, it's medicine in your relationships. Thirdly, and here's the really interesting one, it is literally medicine to your physical health. I know some of you and just people in life like natural medicines. Here is the most natural medicine that you can find. It's called joy in your heart. I'll read you a couple things here. Someone writes this, scientific studies, you can click on these links, you can read it on their websites. Scientific studies from the American College of Cardiology, Harvard Medicine, and John Hopkins agree that a positive mindset, it's not talking about spiritual stuff, but it's talking about a positive mindset, it's just joy in the heart, has a powerful influence over the body. A cheerful, contented temperament not only fortifies our mental health, but enables us to resist the attacks of physical disease. And I just add to that, heal faster. Here's another story. Didn't write it. Read it from another person. You take it for what it's worth. Dr. Norman Cousins, who for a number of years was on the medical staff at the UCLA School of Medicine, at one point, a number of years ago, Dr. Cousins was diagnosed with having a strange, rare kind of disease that destroys the connective tissues of your body. The doctors gave him the battery of expensive tests and said, "Sorry, there's nothing we can do. It's a degenerative, and you are going to die." Now, this was a number of years ago, so you'll keep this in context. You'll understand why I said that. Dr. Cousins said, "Well, I didn't want to just give up, so he set himself on a regimen of exercise, high doses of vitamin C, and then he added an unusual thing. He rented a projector and rented the Marx Brothers and Three Stooges, hence the long time ago. Movies and all the cartoons he could find. For an hour each day, he would take his vitamin C, he'd watch the Marx Brothers, the Three Stooges, and would laugh his head off. What he discovered was that 10 minutes of heavy laughter gave him a whole hour of free pain. And so he would watch those movies over and over again, and as he did discover that he could get better. The day came when he went back to the doctors, they said, 'We don't know what happened because this was an incurable disease. As far as we know, you're completely cured.' He lived about another 20 years after that. He wrote a book called Anatomy of an Illness, in which he made the point that your mental attitude, the cheerfulness, or the lack thereof has a great deal to do with whether you get sick, how bad you get sick, and whether you get well, and how quickly you get well." And so I don't say anything by that other than a joyful heart is good medicine. You know, you take that for whatever it's worth, but a joyful heart, it's good medicine. If our hearts are elevated, one more quote. If our hearts are elevated, our bodies are lifted up, our words be uplifting, and our relationships will be enriched. If our hearts are crushed, broken, the conditions of our body will break down. We'll have no strength to encourage others. And so the inside affects the outside. Here's the real hard thing with this whole deal. Is it easiest to find joy when things are good or when things are bad? It's easiest to find joy when it's all good. I'm happy. I feel the medicine. Reality, though, is that when you're bad, it's still good medicine. So how do I get there when I don't feel so good? How do I get there when I got the burdens on my shoulder? How do I get to joy when I am in a miserable place of life? That's the question. I want to answer that. How do I find this joy when it has not rained, I'm not that healthy, there's not that much food in the fridge, the bills are due, the kids are sick, the job is putting on a great deal of burden, and I'm dealing with a lot of stress? And I'll give you a number of things in here. I'm going to give you a list of things here. Where do you find joy from when you're in the dumps? Not all of these will apply to everybody, but all of them apply somehow to somebody. Follow that? You might look and go like, that doesn't apply to me. Great, wait for the next one. That's all I'm trying to say. All right, where do I find joy when I'm in the dumps? How do I come to a place of biblical joy? Let me just give you a long list here. Number one is this: confess your sins. You simply confess your sins. This goes back to the David thing. Psalm 32, he's dealing with the guilt on his shoulders. He has no place of joy. My bones are wasting away. My strength is dried up. I can't do anything. I have no motivation. What was the answer for David? Confess your sins. Get right with God. If you're not right with God, you get right with God. And when he did, listen to what he says. This is the rest of that Psalm 32. He says this: I got right with God. And he says, blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and whose spirit there is no deceit. I acknowledged my sin before you. I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. You're my hiding place. You preserve me in trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord. Rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright. He gets his sin dealt with. And if you've done this, you know, once and for all, and then throughout life, when you know there's sins on your shoulders, if you've ever done that, you know how you walk away after you've gotten right with God? It's clouds. You know what I mean by that? If you've never experienced the clouds feeling, have you actually confessed your sins and known the forgiveness of God? But when that weight comes off your shoulders, I mean, it is walking like a calf out in the pasture. You know when you first let them go? Those legs are just kicking around. That's the forgiveness and joy of knowing that your sins are forgiven. Got to get the word out. If you're not right with God, you get right with God. If you're not right with your fellow man, get right with your fellow man. The Bible says, if at all possible, live peaceably with all people. And it prescribes, if you know you've sinned, if someone has sinned against you, you go and talk to them. And if you know that you've sinned against someone, James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Can you correct every relationship? No, you can't. But I've learned from experience that there is a great deal of joy in just doing what God told me to do, and now it's off my shoulders. I've sinned against someone. They may not forgive me, but I go talk to them. I'm as good as forgiven in God's eyes because I went and sought it. And so there's just that joy in knowing I did what I should have done. So confess your sins, number one. Number two, cultivate a forgiving spirit. Cultivate a forgiving spirit. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, gentle, forgiving one another, as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Bitter people are not joyful people. Bitter people are not joyful people. The Bible says envy rots the bones. Envy rots. Anger rots. Bitterness rots. Unforgiveness rots. You carry bitterness within your soul, you're rotting yourself away. And kind of interesting, but there are people I've come across who have physical problems. And I say this is, you know, one in a thousand. I don't run to here immediately, but there are people I've come across that have physical problems, and you start to dig and you learn that there's a bitterness or an unforgiveness or something in their past that they have not dealt with. And they go and seek doctor after doctor. and they cannot find healing for their physical ailment, their physical problem. The Bible gives the answer to that. Joyful heart is good medicine. Where do you find that good medicine? In the forgiveness of the things you're holding on to from your past and all that bitterness. And so you cultivate this forgiving spirit, and it can literally bring healing. Number three, set your mind on the higher and unseen realities. Colossians 3, you remember this one? Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. You got to lift your mind. If all you do is look around, there's no rain, there's no this, this is wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong, what's going to happen to your soul and what's going to happen to your joy? Whew. But like we talked about, like you can have the most miserable life, but you can still have a lot of joy. You can have a little. You can be one of the poorest people in this world, but you can still have joy in your heart because you know the greater realities. And you're focused on that which is above. Christ is, this is John 16:33. In the world you'll have tribulation. Take heart, I've overcome the world. James 1:22, you count it all joy, brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, knowing that this is working within you steadfastness. And when steadfastness has its full effect, you will be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. God is working through these difficult circumstances. And I can find joy in that. And so you find the joy in setting your mind on higher things. I've found in my experience, you know this too, that that is a difficult thing to do because your natural sight just sinks like I don't even have a good illustration. I thought long and hard of this, and I'm still thinking. I haven't come up with something good, but it sinks. It's like something falling with gravity. That's what our sight does. It always just comes down like this. We used to, this is the best I come up with. We still have it. It's an autumn sign. You know, one of those porch leaner signs are like 4 foot tall. You stand on your front porch and it just says, I think it just says autumn. We've set that out. You go outside and like, oh, the thing's knocked over. So you set it back up. You go inside. It's 20 minutes later. What do you hear? Dunk. Like, I bet you that thing fell over again. So you go outside and you pick the thing back up. You go home, it's 2-3 days, good, it's good. But then you go outside, that's dumb thing's on the ground again. And it's the wind blowing it over. Eventually we get smart and you wire the thing up. But that's our sight. It naturally comes down to this is wrong, that's wrong, this is wrong, that's wrong, this is wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. And he's wrong and she's wrong and everything's wrong. And so you come down to this, but the Bible says find joy in lifting your mind to the higher unseen things of God. Number four, learn to give thanks. You got to learn to give thanks. If you want to find joy, you ever notice that thankful people are joyful people, and joyful people are thankful people. Those go hand in hand. You cannot be bitter and joyful. You cannot be ungrateful and joyful at the same time. Song I think most of you will know, count your blessings. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. When you look at others and their lands and golds, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings, money cannot buy your reward in heaven, nor your home on high. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. And the song goes, count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Count your many blessings. How's it go? Name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. It is the place of joy when you learn to give thanks and count your blessings. Number five, guard your heart. Keep your heart, the Bible says, with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. People will steal your joy. Circumstances will steal your joy. Satan will steal your joy. What you've got to learn to do is make it have a wall, a border. And you throw up the razor wire And you don't let anyone in to rob that joy. You let the joy in, but you don't let people pull it out. This thing is guarded. Guard your heart. Number six, learn to laugh. This is actually biblical. It is good to be serious about the things of God, but it is also good to laugh. There's a Ecclesiastes 3, there's a time for everything, a season for everything, a time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to laugh. Don't take yourself too seriously. It's always a struggle for some, and some you preach the other way. Don't learn not to take yourself too seriously. Learn to laugh at yourself. Learn to laugh at your life circumstances. The Bible does tell you don't laugh at everything. Get serious about some things. But it also, there's something to learning to laugh. Tire falls off. Things just going miserable today. Everything's falling apart on you. Stand back and go, that's kind of a, you know, you just kind of learn to laugh about it. If you don't, you know, saying people say, if you don't laugh, you're going to what? I'm going to cry. But you learn to laugh. Laughter, if you have laughed hard, and sometimes you don't realize how much you haven't laughed until you actually do laugh. You know, my wife and I have gone through this. We go, we haven't laughed this hard in a long time. Children bring you a lot of good laughter. But, you know, you just laugh at different stuff. And when you do that, you feel, you literally feel the medicine flow through your body. And it is good medicine to you. It's stress relief. It's just something. So learn to laugh. Learn. Don't waste your life being a grump. We got enough grumpy people around. You don't need to be another one. Learn to laugh. All right. Number seven, slow down. I find in my own experience that one of the things that kills me with joy is the stress, and what brings on the stress is trying to go from point A to point B and zoom there as quick as I can. But the saying goes, stop and smell the roses. And you have to do that from time to time. This goes back to last week. You know, sometimes you just got to remember, better is little with joy than to have a whole house of feasting with strife and with hatred and with trouble. Sometimes you just got to learn to bring it down here. Slow down. We're just busy people. It's good to work, but slow down. Number eight, look for opportunities to bless others. A selfish person can never be cheerful. Just simply say this, the saying you probably heard before, if you're depressed, you go help somebody. It's biblical. And number nine, cultivate your relationship with God. If you found that not all of these apply to you, here's one that applies to every single person. Where do you find joy? The source of the joy. God, the Bible says, in your presence is the fullness of joy. If you're not near the fire, you're not going to be warm. If you don't have your cup under the water, your cup's never going to get filled. And so you just, I mean, the basic things of life, and you just preach it over and over, the fundamentals of life are what we need for life, health, and godliness. What are they? The Bible and prayer. If you just get, I think if you get all Christians to do those things, the Bible and prayer, read your Bible, pray, talk to God, have dedicated times where you get on your knees, not just praying here and there, not just tossing up a prayer here and there, but getting alone, getting you with God, you would solve so many issues that we deal with. But draw near to the fountain and your cup will be filled up, and that's where you find the joy. So no matter where you're at, in the dumps or in a good place of life, that is where you find your joy. Cultivate that relationship with God. Psalm 19, I think we looked at this in Sunday school. Your precepts, the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. You read the Bible, it rejoices your heart because you know God's precepts. All right, last one is this. And number 10, roll your burdens onto his shoulders. Hymn number 2, which I won't sing for you. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what pain we need. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. This just preaches to me all the time. What needless pain we carry because we don't carry it to God in prayer. This last week too, you remember? You're not Atlas. Don't try to be Atlas. Don't hold the world on your shoulders. You take your burdens, you roll them onto God, and you let him hold the world up, and you move on. And you find joy in that. God, this is on your shoulders. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to do what I can, and you'll find joy. It's not always immediate. This takes time. You reap what you sow. You plant these seeds. You draw near to God. Joy is maybe not going to come in the moment, but you will eventually find that. So joy, a joyful heart is good medicine. A joyful heart is good medicine. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. So let's stand and go to the Lord in closing. Ask you to bow your head and close your eyes with me here for a moment. The Bible says, all the days of the oppressed are wretched, but the cheerful of heart has a continual feast. You find joy in life. You experience the continual feasting. This goes on. And so I touched a number of areas in here where we can find joy. There's one I did not touch on, which is the first place that you find joy. And that is knowing the forgiveness of your sins in God through Jesus Christ because of the cross. How can one experience true joy if they don't know the one? Not if they're not near, but if they don't even know the one who is the fountain of joy. The Bible says that you can know God. It says that all who have not come to believe are condemned already, but all who do receive him have life in his name. And so if you've never come to Christ, come to him. Experience the forgiveness of sins once and for all, and you will know true joy. You will know a life of joy. Not that everything's going to be happy-go-lucky, but you will know a life that has a deep-seated, unmovable joy. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Our natural, left to ourselves, our natural way is to end up in God's judgment in a place called hell. But Jesus died on the cross that we could receive the forgiveness of our sins and we could know him and know eternal life. You call upon him. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You call upon him and you seek him for the forgiveness of sins. If you never called upon him, take a moment now. You simply pray in your heart as I pray. And I'll close this in a word of prayer. If you never called upon him, you can say something like this from your heart. And God will save you from your sins. Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I understand that my sin condemns me, and I will be judged because of it. But Lord, I understand that you've died on the cross, you've paid for my sins. And Lord, I ask you to forgive me once and for all for the sins which I've committed in the past, for the sins which I will commit in the future. And you cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would help us to know each one here, to know the true place of joy, to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Never assume that churchgoers are heaven-bound people. It's something that must happen on the inside of their hearts, the inside of us. We must know you, must know Christ, must know the forgiveness of sins and commit our ways to you. So, Lord, if anyone doesn't know you within our church, I pray that you convict. And, Lord, if anyone here does know you, as many I know do, I do pray that you help us to focus on the joy that we have in Christ, to lift our eyes and set our minds on things above, not on the things of this earth. And I pray that we experience you intend us to experience the joy-filled life. One of the fruits of the Spirit is we have the Spirit, we ought to know joy. So lift our minds.
Help us to forgive, bitter at heart, dealt with its relationships or anything within our control,
help us to deal with.
Lord, if it's just a deepening relationship we need with you, may we grow in that.
Just Lord, whatever it might be, whatever is setting in our path,
let us find the path of joy and live in that joy.
May it be good medicine for our soul, and may we rejoice and give you glory for all of it, because it all comes from you.
So God, thank you that you are a good God. You give us this good medicine that covers all of life, within relationships, within our circumstances, and just within even our physical bodies. And so, Lord, we thank you so much for your word. May we, as the Isaiah did, he literally ate your word. May we spiritually eat your word, and may this be nourishment now for our souls. So let us walk in these ways now, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.